Well, I'd like to give you greetings in the name of Jesus from the brothers and sisters there at White Oak. I realize this is an awesome time for the life of the church. Possibly, if we really think about it, we have to all wonder, those of us who are here, those of you who are here who maybe have not been called into deacon, or minister, you almost have to do a self-examination type thing and say, would I be willing? Would I be, am I qualified? And I live in a godly life that God could use me in this part. It is an awesome time. And may God bless you as in this part of the life of your church. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. We'll be reading the first 7 verses. Acts 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom they may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and the Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multitude in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know, when I thank God for this congregation. When you have a calling, when God is calling to for leadership for this office of deacon, it's growth. And I praise God for a church that is growing. Let's all come before the Lord in prayer as we kneel before him.
We bring your greetings in the name of our common denominator that brings us together, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. As Brother Ron started to read of this 6th chapter of Acts, it came to me that I have handwritten here in my Bible with the early church power and problems. And this being that the widows were neglected and what to do about that. They actually did not just come up with this thought of let's make an office of something. But in the synagogue, there was a deacon type of structure. Oh, yeah, so the Lord had a pattern somewhat, and they reached for that. And here at the Pleasant Hill congregation, the call for help has sounded again. And the call of help gives you an opportunity here in this congregation to exercise your faith in the Lord. No electioneering is in order or needed. To exercise your faith in each other, that as a congregation together, we are making this call, seeking the Lord. As it says here in the verse 3, look you at among you, choose ye, select out, select from among you. look ye out. And then it also gives the opportunity to express your love for the Church of Jesus Christ. Not your personal whims, but the best for the Church of Jesus Christ, the congregation here. And there's qualities for this office that are listed. Do you see here in Acts 6, verse 3, it says, seven men, good report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And if you take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 8 through 13, and I read. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a good conscience. We're looking at the qualities here that Paul was explaining to Timothy what deacons' qualities should be. Verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Just calling your attention to it in verse 10, let them use. It doesn't say that deacons are supposed to fill the office, but are supposed to use the office. Also down in verse 13, for they that have used, not just filled the office, but used the office of deacon. So we see these qualities are spiritual qualities, not physical. It's foolish to settle for less than the best that the Lord has available. We are like the prophet Samuel, have a tendency, a natural tendency to look on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. And I believe the Spirit of God here tonight in the body of believers here in this congregation is looking at the hearts of individuals and directing, I trust, directing you in that way. So looking at the biblical qualities that are required, one of the interesting things about the general qualifications for deacon is that they're not above the level of growing committed Christians. In other words, it seems that the general qualities that Paul is outlining are characteristic and are reasonably to be expected in any man who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at six of these qualities just a little more in depth. First, moral integrity. In other words, he is firmly committed to Christian biblical morality and is known to be firmly committed not by where the stand he takes, but also by the lifestyle that he exhibits. A good report within and without the church. A good report in the community. Kind of reminds me of my father some years ago was doing business with an individual. And it seemed like the individual just wanted to buy that straw at a couple dollars cheaper. And this was an ongoing type of thing. You got the load after load, different times. And somewhere along the line, my father found out that this man was a deacon in his home congregation. And the next time my father mentioned to him that he understands he's a deacon and, blessings for that work. And it was kind of interesting to my father that after that, it seemed like he was a little different to deal with. It should be a good report within and without the church. And not double-tongued, not speaking in two voices, saying one thing to one and something different to another. Second, sexual purity. The husband of one wife, he is a one-woman man. Because the early church was having so many problems with sexual immorality, it is absolutely imperative that the church would exhibit holiness in a corrupt and deprived society, particularly in the area of sexuality. This emphasis is necessary today. The Church of Jesus Christ has to put a lot of distance between itself and the sexual immorality and impurity that has become normal in our society. Third, domestic authority. Rules his own house well. And here in verse 12, a man whose children, we see that listed here in 1 Timothy 3, verse 12. A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Actually, to us as fathers and husbands, our church, our household, our family is basically a little worship community, a church within itself. And if a man doesn't, as leader of that worship unit, doesn't have that in order, how can he serve the larger unit in a fulfilling capacity? Fourth, spiritual quality, full of the Holy Spirit. Spirit controlled in board meetings, in working with other deacons, in visitation. Spirit control and not yielding to temptation in so many areas of life. And as it speaks here in the scripture, not greedy, verse 8, not greedy of filthy lucre, that is his spiritual, Holy Spirit controlled with his matters dealing with money. That there's no question that this man is totally above board. This husband and wife, there's no question. Not yielding to temptation in so many areas. Spirit control reflected that a deacon is indeed a man of God throughout all areas of his life. Fifth, doctrinal stability. We see this in verse 9. A Christian long enough to have a pretty good handle on theology and is deeply committed to the truth. Because of that, he's able to stand firm amid spiritual or doctrine confusion. Doctrinally stable. He needs to have a love for God's word and at the same time encourage others in walking in God's word as well. A deacon, in his going from house to house and in his dealings with those that need charity, needs to be a straight, caring individual. not given to much wine, the scripture says, but lives totally under the control of the Holy Spirit, disciplining their lives, not giving to unholy, sensual drives of the flesh, full of the Holy Spirit, and having the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As you are thinking about who to write on the papers this evening, I trust that you are thinking, is this qualities that I'm seeing in the individuals that the Lord has placed on my heart to write on that paper, full of faith, full of wisdom. Men who are men of the book, capital B. 6, church loving personality. There in Acts 6, that Brother Ron read in Devotions, verse 3, look ye out from among you. So they're within the church body, a personality that works well, is loving. Love for the people in the church. We live in a very impersonal world today. And as we move into a more high-tech society, where people tend to be working more and more with electronic machinery than with people, the Church of Jesus Christ needs personnel, deacons, who can touch the hearts of other people. Loves to be in church as well. Not just loves the church and the people in the church, but loves to be in church. And should be frequent attenders, supportive of the church's ministry, position, and program. And you heard the scripture, there's qualities of the wife. The deacon's wife is to be upright. The wives of the church leaders are a big factor in their husband's ministry. The deacon's wife must first meet special requirements too, because she will often need to share with her husband in his many delicate duties. Any reproach on the part of the wife will reflect on the ministry of the husband. The deacon's wife must be grave and not a slanderer. She must profess balanced judgment. The phrase, faithful in all things, means that the deacon's wife must be a reliable, trustworthy woman. One who can be depended upon. She must be faithful to her Christ, to her husband, to her family, and to her church. In conclusion, deacons are a true asset to the church, so that the local congregation might be unified, multiplied, and Jesus magnified. So as we choose prayerfully who to call this evening, think of these areas: moral integrity, sexual purity, domestic authority, spiritual quality, doctrinal stability, and church-loving personality. May the Lord, may the Holy Spirit of our God just have full and free control as deacons are chosen this evening.
But the church only did this as they were directed by the Holy Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit thing. It's the operation of the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge the three of you with the words of 1 Timothy 3, verse 13. It's good to get challenged right from the start. It says, and our brother mentioned this verse, "For they that have used," and the word "used" here means to serve. It means to be active. In other words, you're not just sitting in a position. You're being active. "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." My challenge to the three of you is that you would serve well, that you would put your whole body and soul into and spirit into fulfilling this set apart calling. God bless you. I say it from my heart. God bless you as he has called you to this set apart ministry. I encourage you to always remember this day, because in leadership, there's trials. In leadership, there's a lot of opposition. And when you face that opposition, you could remember it was the Holy Spirit that called you to this position. And he will give you the grace. Anything that comes across your way, he will give you the grace to handle it. So always remember this day. We're going to soon kneel for prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Paul Shirk to come forward and lead us. Let's kneel at this time.